like, it's brutal. There's like five classes of people, and like the richest people are the people who work in the hospitality industry because they pay them enough. So when all of the Canadians go over on their heavy discounted holiday, they're like, so how's your life over here? And they're like, oh, it's fantastic. I own a car, I own six houses, blah, 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 blah. So then the Canadians can feel like good about the fact that they're getting such a cheap subsidized holiday. And then going down from there, it's like business owners and owners of factories, and after that it's doctors and lawyers and engineers, and after that it's everybody else, or it's like the black market is somewhere in between owners and doctors, and then there's the doctors, and then there's like, it's incredibly unequal. Everybody
Are you saying that doctors are in an upper class of Cuban economic life?
No, they're in a lower class.
Okay.
Lower, right. they make less money in Cuba than your bartender at a resort.
Yes. Yes.
And if that's equality, then it kind of sucks.
Well, I can't speak for that. I mean, the thing is but who do you think should make less?
I believe that you should make what you earn, but the problem in their socialist system is you don't make what you earn. You make what you're allotted to make through their government organization of the economic distribution. Like, because it's socialist, truly socialist, so you don't have control over your own destiny. Unless you get a job in the hospitality industry and to the black market, or already have money, or have a friend who works in the United States, or have a family member who's sending money back from Canada, or find an old, lonely man to marry who can get you out of the country.
Well, you're basically saying that socialism, if enacted properly, is perfect.
No, I'm saying socialism in every example that has ever been on the planet is dysfunctional and does not work and ends up failing.
But why wouldn't you say the same thing about capitalism?
But I mean, what's failure?
Well, all of the complaints.
It's about
a lot of
the achievement of motivation. No, but the difference is that socialists claim that everybody's equal, right? And that is the utopia of equality, and everybody's on the same plane. But every example, there's always an elite, there's always corruption, and there's always a bottom, and the bottom can't get back up because that is part of the jurisdiction and the rules and the laws of the socialist dictatorship, more or less. And so your goal is not achieved by socialism, whereas capitalism goal is achieved. Therefore, capitalism is not a failure. Because there are tons of people who are becoming rich on the free market. Therefore, capitalism is a success.
But what about the people who... But you were talking about inequality, and you were mentioning what the inequality...
I'm not, but the mandate of capitalism is not about equality. It's about opportunity.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, what we were talking... I mean, I don't know whether you heard what we were talking about before, but... You know, to what extent you were talking about. We were talking about this man, Les Moonves, who became this phenomenally wealthy person who was making more in 1 year than most people would make. I mean, to say that they could make even what he makes in a year in their entire lifetime would be a stretch, even if you
they
were doing
can,
pretty well.
So choose and desire.
No. The reason that Les Moonves... There was another reason why Les Moonves was in such a position. He had no, from reading his Wikipedia page, he had no talents or special abilities. It appeared that he had influence somewhere. And then that became magnified by when the talk came of him buying a house in California of another person who most people wouldn't even know who they were. I happen to not know them well, but I've met them. I've come into contact with them.
It's Andrew. I guess Greg got disconnected.
All right.
So I'm going to have to call him, or we'll just wait to see if he calls back.
Yeah, the iPhone may have shut it the call off if it's like over 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He's just circumventing the argument. He's not actually discussing. Anyways, continue. Sorry.
He'll continue the argument. So Minimax, what are you trying to say here? Ends up people. Paying people not to sleep on the street and not need to rob people for their fix. It's considered a good investment by many. Yeah? Okay. Waiting for Gray to call back. I guess I'll go on Flash and phone Greg. Play a little music here.
Bob, I caught you in a lie.
You're there?
Bob, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay, good.
I'm here.
All right, good.
I'm sorry, Bob. I was on a... I realized I had... I don't know where I got cut off, but boy, there was some great stuff there.
I don't think much got cut off at all.
Oh, no? Anyway, I think that this...
You were making a distinction with Lauren about something. Denmark,
well,
or taking it past Denmark?
He's quibbling. I mean, Lauren is quibbling about Cuba, a poor country that doesn't go around the world.
I'm quibbling about the success of a mandate. If socialism is to make everybody equal, every example of socialist governments, there is an aristocracy that runs everything, there is corruption, and there is a lot of poverty and inequality. Therefore, socialism is a failure. Capitalism, their motive is not about equality. Their motive is to have a free market where people can get rich if they have the ability to get rich. Since tons of people get rich through capitalism, it is therefore a success, and socialism is therefore a failure because of its own lacking in the success.
But you're portraying the idea that everybody has the ability to become rich in capitalism if they just worked hard.
They absolutely do.
That's not true. I know lots of people that work.
Who were poor that are now rich. Therefore, it is proven that it is possible.
Yeah, of course it's possible. Of course it's possible. But it's also possible to work very hard, be poor, and not make any good money at all and still be poor. So
yeah,
the hard work part of it. No. The hard work part of it.
Possible.
But somebody's got to do the work, right? And not all of the work is profitable.
I think you can make it profitable if you so believe that you can make the money. But a lot of people just kind of believe things are the way they are, and they're just completely and totally disadvantaged from birth, and therefore there's no chance of anything else better happening, and therefore they don't try, and so they stay exactly where they are. They stagnate themselves, not
okay.
The system.
Why was there a depression in 1929?
Well, Bob, you can take that, but it's because of the radio.
No, but really, why was there a why? What caused that? I mean, I know it's a big event, and lots of things would go towards doing that. But how do you describe that as a just another in a long line of capitalism successes? Do you describe
they
various
got out of it?
Yeah, but how did they get out of it?
By employing methods that enabled them to regain their economy.
Which method?
Paying people to make money. Paying people to do jobs.
No. How did they do it? Okay. We know that the depression occurred. It was and to a certain extent was a global depression. But we mainly know about the depression in the United States, although it extended into Canada and probably extended far beyond there too. But who is given credit for getting out of the depression? Which figure is mainly given credit by so many people?
A rich guy
who
was elected president. A rich guy who was invented president. Roosevelt.
Roosevelt, right? Roosevelt. And what did Roosevelt do?
He had a lot of money in his family, got a great education, and then bought his way into becoming the president of the United States. And then through
that education
and that knowledge that he acquired through a capitalist system was able to use socialist means of restoring the free market capitalist environment.
So basically, they had a system that was so, they had to make, they had to take the terror, in a sense, out of capitalism. They had to make it so that it wasn't, that you either live or die in the system, right? Because they'd seen that basically capitalism was driving people to death because they couldn't afford things. The whole system, the whole economic system had collapsed. And the only way that they could pull it out, as you say, was to sort of adopt this capitalism or socialism. They had to introduce socialism. And he's still reviled in certain areas, Roosevelt, still reviled for doing that by some deep-seated conservatives types, certain political elements, shall we say. I won't even name a particular type, but he's reviled. But by others, let's say, like, for instance, Conrad Black says that that Roosevelt saved the United States from going communist. But what he did, what Roosevelt did, was he enacted all sorts of socialist policies, not in any much different than the type of policies that Lenin and Stalin enacted. In fact, at the time of the United States,
millions of people in order to make their mandate take over the entire country. I mean, Stalin and
you don't think the United States
committed mass genocide. But what makes
No.
It's okay if it's communist genocide? Is that what you're saying?
Where's the name the genocide?
Well, there's tons of people that were assassinated. There's like it's not
name
like,
the no. I want to know the genocide.
You've used the word Georgia.
You've heard the you've used the word genocide. You've used the word genocide. I want you to tell
family,
me what...
My entire family was murdered during the Bolshevik Revolution. The family that didn't leave Russia was just fucking put into slavery in Siberia or shot. Everything was taken from them. Everything they earned.
So you think that... Look, I don't know whether to be sorry for your family or not, okay? I'm not making judgment. I don't know anything about your family, and obviously it's personal.
It's obviously personal for you.
We've hit the nerve.
No.
It's
not a nerve.
But the thing is, you mentioned the word genocide. Yeah, give me genocide. I want genocide.
Yeah.
Where?
Georgia. And,
that's not genocide. That's not genocide. What? Who did that? Who did the Armenian genocide?
Tons of people were murdered in the USSR.
No.
That is a fact.
No. Okay. Who did the Armenian genocide?
I have no idea, but it doesn't really matter. But like,
yeah, you have no idea.
Okay.
But can I tell you who did it? Can I just for your edification?
Yeah,
do you want to know who did? You know what? You don't want to know who did the Armenian genocide?
Who?
No.
No.
Turkey.
No. It's the Ottoman Empire. It's Turkey.
Right,
Turkey did the Armenian genocide. You're
right,
thrown
right,
around.
Right. So
You're so influenced by Western capitalists. That you're throwing around the word genocide, and a genocide happens because members of your family were killed. Well, hell.
No,
do you think
that? You don't throw this back.
Well, you just mentioned them. You mentioned them.
A famine.
Am I not supposed to see? You're mentioning your family.
Famine.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
All right. So the Holodomor was a man-made famine in Soviet Ukraine in 1932 and 1933 that killed millions of Ukrainians. It was also known as the Terror Famine and the Famine Genocide in Ukraine, and sometimes referred to as the Great Famine or the Ukrainian Genocide, 1932 to 1933. Therefore,
are you Ukrainian? Are you a Ukrainian?
No.
Is your family Ukrainian?
No.
Okay.
But Wikipedia says this is a fiction.
You're talking about a fiction. This Holmovador bullshit is just fiction.
Fiction, like the
and
Holocaust?
You've learned this from you've learned this. You've been trained nicely.
Hey, buddy. Hey, listen for a second. Why does Wikipedia say it then if it's fiction? I'm reading this on Wikipedia.
Well, okay, you can go and read Wikipedia all you want, but the thing is
So it's fake news.
No, because it's not true.
The same method.
It's not true. It's not true. What happened was these Western. Keep your eyes open. Okay, watch what's happening. Look what's happening in Ukraine today. All right, the so-called Ukraine. Ukraine isn't really a country. All right, it's a region. It's like calling
Canada
the Gobi Desert a country.
Holodomor as a genocide. Canada is one of the countries that
officially recognizes it as
a genocide.
Yeah, because this place is run by Ukrainians.
Oh, so
do you realize that our foreign minister,
Our current foreign minister,
Chrystia Freeland, is the granddaughter of a Nazi, Ukrainian Nazi publisher who took over the printing press of Jews who were taken off and murdered. He then took over, to add insult to injury, takes over the press and starts publishing the most vile, anti-Semitic, and other types of anti-human material. Is friends with top Nazis, all right? Okay, all right, so it's his granddaughter, right? And maybe, you know, a granddaughter isn't necessarily like their grandfather. Okay, fine. But she denied that her grandfather was a Nazi and a Nazi propagandist and rubbed shoulders with top Nazi people and published anti-human material. She denied that. And what she did was, while she was the foreign minister of, while she, and she still is, the foreign secretary of Canada, foreign minister, she, a Ukrainian, right, has the support of the Ukrainian right-wing Canadian establishment. She said, oh, all of these things that are being said about my grandfather, it's all lies. They're all lies. They're being. It's all by Putin. Putin is creating this. He's the one. It's all part of the Russian establishment creating disinformation.
That's convenient, right?
She,
for you.
This is what she said while she's a minister in the government and still is. All right, Jewish groups don't say anything. Certainly no Ukrainians stand up to this, right? Except a few Ukrainians in Alberta who dared to do research on her grandfather, came up with the information that he was a Nazi, did full, if they didn't know a lot about it in the first place.
You get the point. You're saying because he's a Nazi.
Well, the point is that in Canada, it's okay to lie about Ukrainian Nazism. It's okay. It's okay to call. It was okay for her to call her grandfather a refugee.
110 million people killed, foreign and domestic, by communist genocide from 1900 to 1987.
No. There's no genocide. There's no genocide. You're throwing around the word genocide, and I reject that completely because you can't
even. I'm reading Wikipedia.
Yeah, well, lots of people can write things on Wikipedia, and do you think people go in and start challenging this? But
it's pure
where's
review.
The genocide? Yeah, peer reviewed
so
by people who work
your
for
skewed point of socialist view.
I'm not asking you to believe a damn Europe. Thing I say. I'm not asking you to say this. This is my view of what happened in Ukraine, and mainly in Western Ukraine.
Hey,
I should say.
I'm not just talking about
which
Ukraine
is basically
here.
What.
I'm not just talking well, about Ukraine. It was an example of the genocide that
so
was
you're saying, okay,
by the USSR.
Okay, let's just go into this. You're saying, let's just talk about the word genocide right for now, okay? Genocide is where you have a planned campaign to eradicate an entire group of people. Now, I know of a few of these campaigns in history that I believe there's pretty good evidence that the Nazi regime, the Nazi government of Germany, planned to eradicate Jews and gypsies, at very least, and
Why
anybody that didn't suit them.
Why are you talking about fascism right now? We're talking about communism and murder.
No, I'm talking about genocide. I'm talking
about,
I'm giving you an example. Look how defensive you are about Nazism. The thing is that I'm talking about
because you're completely and totally obfuscating my argument by moving into something that nobody wants to talk about.
What do you mean nobody wants to talk about?
Why are you talking about fascism? We're talking about communism and the people.
No, I'm not talking. I'm talking about genocide.
That is what we're talking about.
Genocide.
Why are you bringing into the?
No.
Why are you bringing that in?
No, dude. Listen, dude, I'm talking about genocide. I'm talking about genocides that I recognize. Okay.
Okay? Let me change my language then. How about that?
No, you're saying that they're genocides. I'm sticking to genocide.
But
I'm sticking to genocide.
I'm adding other words.
You don't have the right to bring up something and start throwing around the word genocide. And then when I start challenging you and breaking down this whole concept of yours,
I'm saving you a lot of effort by changing the word. How about we just use mass?
You're wrong then, right? You're wrong. You're throwing around of the word genocide so loosely.
I'm changing the language.
And even describing a genocide of your own family
is
ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Hey, dude. I said, I take it back. I use genocide. That is a wrong word to use. Let me use mass murder instead.
Okay, fine.
Therefore, 110 million people were mass murdered during the USSR.
Okay, how many people were mass murdered by the United States and capitalism? How many people were murdered by the United States and capitalism?
But what
let's just go in America. Let's just talk about America. How many Native people do you think were murdered by the invasion of Europe into North America? How many do you think?
That wasn't America.
How many native people do you think, people who were native to the region at the time of the Europeans coming here?
Millions.
Well, then why are you?
Before you start listening,
it's obviously so. It's a human. So basically, you're complaining about human activity, right? You're complaining. You're not complaining
I'm
about
saying,
communism. You're
I'm,
complaining
I'm saying,
about.
Yeah,
you're
I'm
just.
Saying,
you're
talking
you're
about
just,
socialism. I'm complaining about
you're just throwing around mass murder. You're cherry picking again, right? I'm not cherry picking. Why am I cherry picking? I'm not cherry picking for a moment. I'm not going to deny that there was a lot of killing going on in all areas of the world for one reason or another. But the thing is, you choose.
What are we talking about?
You choose to pick out
versus capitalism. That's the thing.
Yeah, but you're going.
Now we're talking about genocide because you brought up the amount.
No, you talk about. No, no, no. You talk about. You're silly.
Oh no,
you're silly.
You don't fucking giggle on me, buddy. Come on.
You're silly.
Do your service.
You're silly.
Do your people a service. You're silly. You're a socialist.
What people? I don't have any people. I don't have any people.
Yeah,
I don't have any
comrades.
People. No, everybody's my comrade. Everybody's my comrade. Everybody who's a human is my comrade.
Why?
What? Why not?
Isn't that, don't people have a choice whether they want to be your comrade or not?
Sure. But I don't distinguish, I'm not distinguishing between one group of people and another group of people and saying that they're not my comrade until they are doing things that I think are anti-human. Anybody who wants to be a human and wants to be collaborating with other humans for the betterment of humanity and for the world and for animals and things like that, I'm with them. If they're people that aren't, then they're my enemy. Why not? It's I'm against people who are anti-human.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem very human, what I saw in Cuba when I was traveling all over. It didn't seem very human. The people there didn't seem that happy.
Where do you live? Are you walking around where you live and saying, gee, this isn't very human? Are you doing that? Are you just going to other countries and finding these faults?
What do you mean? I live in the United States. I was born in Canada. Can't stand the country because of their ethos. Canadians
but
are much
do you
more
not walk around do you live
place.
In such a do you live
Los
somewhere
Angeles.
Where you don't walk around and see ills going on that are disturbing to you? I know Bob lives in a paradise, but do you just walk around and you don't see anything going wrong?
I mean, everybody creates their own reality. So whatever they want to
no,
live.
No. Do you know you're going to another country, I guess on holiday, right? As a guest
no,
of another
really
country.
Not really on holiday. It's not very enjoyable.
Well, what were you doing there?
Exploring it, talking to people.
No, you're a guest. You're a guest.
Yeah.
You're a guest of that country.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, whatever.
And you go in and you come back and you say deplorable things about it. Well, what have you got to say about your own country, whatever country that is, whatever you consider yourself?
They said deplorable things about their country while I was there. I'm just talking about what they said.
Okay.
Well,
why aren't they being executed then? Why if aren't communists supposed to execute anybody who criticizes?
Oh, come on.
Of course not. That's what you're saying. They're mass murderers. They're mass murderers. That's what you're saying.
I didn't say they were exclusively mass murderer. You're putting words.
Okay, good. They're not you. But the thing is that you start defining mass murder by communism. You were doing that. All right. Do you not go anywhere where people complain? Do you not go anywhere where anybody complains about their own society? Like, where you live, does anybody complain?
The least amount of complaint I hear is in America.
Okay, and what complaints do they have when you hear them?
Usually it is them not wanting to work harder.
Like, why should people want to work harder?
There's people who are crippled by student debt. And the economic system is not serving them. And so they are angry at the United States for putting them into a disadvantaged situation.
Do you think that they're right in thinking that?
I think that everybody is completely and totally able to
think. I want your opinion. I want your opinion.
What they want.
I want your opinion. You're very opinionated. I want your opinion on that. Please.
I think people.
What do you think when people say that to you?
Super fucking lazy, because there's tons of people in my generation that had absolutely no money and now they're billionaires. Tons of them, not as many, but tons of people who went from zero to way more than I could even possibly imagine. And if they could do that under this context of America, then why can't anybody else?
So you think that wealth is infinite?
Yes.
How can you even think that? I mean, how can you live
because
and think
I believe
that?
It. I think it. Because
I know you believe it, but it doesn't make any sense.
I've seen it.
The thing
I've
is
seen
that,
it. Why not?
No, it doesn't. If everybody can't get the same idea. You're talking, everybody's got to have a new novel idea and somehow make fantastic amounts of money.
You don't have to have a new novel idea.
You think that there's you think there's even a possibility. It's luck. Don't you think it's luck?
No.
It's luck.
I think it's hard
sheer
work.
Blind luck for the most
and vision.
Part.
It's not sheer blind luck, dude. You got to give the other people more credit than that. You got to give billionaires more credit than sheer blind luck. Come on. You're putting yourself.
No, I won't give them much more credit because I'll tell you why.
You're weakening.
No, I'll tell you why. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Look, I'm going to say I've made money in my life, all right? I've made money. I mean, I'm not saying
cool.
I'm phenomenally wealthy, but I've made money, okay? I made money not because I thought to make money, okay? I mean, I knew I had to make money to survive. That's a clear mandate, right? If you don't go out and somehow make money in this society, you're going to starve, right?
If I so choose to, yeah.
Clearly. You're going to starve.
So,
if you don't get into something that is marketable in society, you're going to starve. That's what you're told.
Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to starve?
But you might not want to do something that someone thinks is marketable.
Then why?
Probably a lot of the people that you know that have done well probably got involved with something that other people didn't think was marketable. And they, through luck and timing and so on, it became marketable for some strange reason. And then they were there on the leading edge. They were ahead. What?
Why are you devaluing hard work and vision so strongly?
I'm not devaluing hard work and vision. I'm not saying that I didn't work hard. But I'm saying that I've seen other people who work hard and didn't make money because they weren't in the market wasn't there for whatever their peculiar talents were. People people do things sometimes because they want to do them. And they don't really, they don't first consider whether there's a market in it. Someone just feels compelled to do something, and then they do it. And then, and, I mean, what if Walt Disney had been born in, I don't know, the 1700s, and he had the idea of making animated cartoons or something, right?
Tons
well,
of people
the technology
did,
wasn't there. The technology
yeah,
wasn't
it was
there to do it.
Phantasmagoria. Well, he wouldn't have had those ideas. He would have made mirror and lantern shows and all kinds of crazy stuff during the Phantasmagoria.
Yeah, but he might not have. But he might not. But he Walt Disney
yeah, he
was
wasn't
born
that,
had.
So why is that a valid argument?
Because people because you can have a talent and a drive and an ability or a willingness to work, but if the market isn't there to support what you're doing, then you're
sounds
not going to make
capitalist.
Money.
Sounds pretty capitalist. Mm-hmm. The market's not there. And the beautiful thing about capitalism is it makes as many markets as possible for you to take on and use and work with. You're saying that people do not make money because there isn't a market. But the freest market is capitalism. Therefore, people will have the most opportunity within a capitalist context to find the market for whatever it is that they want to do. Thus, the opportunity.
But it's an abdication. But it's an abdication of the idea that you're. Well, it's sort of. I mean, it's great when it's working, and I mean, like any idea, it's great when it's working, and it's terrible when it isn't. I mean, when the Depression was going on, things were going great economically in the Soviet Union. In the DPRK during the late 1950s and into the 60s, they were doing much better than the capitalist South Korea. I mean, the economic miracle of a supposed or so-called economic miracle of Germany. Why was there an economic so-called economic miracle in Germany after the war? Because they bailed them out of their debts. They didn't have to pay their debts. That student debt you're talking about, that can't be written off. That's there. That's there forever. That is, there's no way that can be written off by any measure that's currently available. That is there and you're stuck with it. There's no way to write off that debt. Whereas Germany's debt, Japan's, you know, the thing is the German debt, who did German industry owe all their money to? What was their debt owed to? The Nazis. And the Nazis weren't around anymore. So basically that debt just went away. Well, that's great. If you have a lot of debt and your debt is gone, that's terrific, isn't it? That allows you to do lots of things that you couldn't do if you had to pay the debt.
That elimination
Dude,
it's World War II.
What about England?
That caused the Nazis to not be there anymore. That's not exactly a price to pay to get rid of.
Well,
debt.
It was because. Yeah, well, it was because of the Nazis that Britain, partly, was because of the Nazis that Britain was brought to its knees economically, right? And after the war, who was giving them money? The United States, for which the United Kingdom had to pay back that debt. That debt wasn't written off to the United Kingdom. And so by the mid-1970s, when I lived there, I mean, it was a nightmare, you know, economically.
Are we arguing over capitalism?
And the Soviet Union, who, what?
Are we arguing over capitalism or just America? Because there's a lot of other capitalist countries in the world.
I'm arguing your idea that the perception of how someone becomes rich is not just because of hard work and all of that. The details matter. And the thing is that's called vision. Well, the details, you know, you start looking into it, and the supposed economic miracle of the capitalist rise of Germany is because they weren't saddled with debt. They were allowed not to have debt. Similarly, in Japan, right? They were the United States cherry picked. They chose that Germany would would be the winner. And as we see today, and we see things going wrong there, but Germany was going to be the winner, and Japan was going to be the winner for as long as they could possibly manage it, because
Japan's kind of
they were engineering that. They were engineering that. They were engineering where the wealth was going to go. And that is how things are engineered in the United States and in Canada. It's engineered where the wealth is going to go. It isn't necessarily about hard work. I mean, we just talked about Les Moonves making millions and millions and millions of dollars every year. He sits in an office and orders a woman who's on staff to come and give him oral sex. I mean, is that hard work?
I mean, I hear it's lonely at the top.
Oh, yeah. So this idea that these people who rise to the top and are making all this money and we're supposed to worship them and use them as role models. Well, I don't want Les. I don't know. I mean, I'm not against receiving oral sex, but I mean, this seems very perverse to me, you know? And so if you want to talk about corruption, I mean, that sounds pretty corrupt to me. I mean, that sounds like corruption, like, oh, I mean, I can't find.
I think you find
examples in the communist world of that kind of corruption. I'd like to hear about it. But the thing is that
the entire elite of the Communist Party, like there was like so. There's a story of like Hammer, you know, the museum in L.A. Right? He was working in the medical trade with his father, and they had a big like medical company. And they had a bunch of surplus of stuff that they couldn't sell because it was obsolete. And so he gave it to Lenin. He brought it all over to Russia. And they're like, here's a hero. He's giving us all these medical supplies that we couldn't afford because of our economic system. And everybody was dying. So he is the savior from America. And then he's like, to pay you, I'm not going to give you any money, but go and take any piece of art you want from any of our museums or any of our art galleries, and we'll just ship it all back to you in North America. And so Hammer was able to go and pillage the human history of Russia and take it home and put it in his mansion until he started the museum, and now everybody can go look at it.
No, he didn't pillage it. He didn't. No, it was an agreement. That's not a pillage.
That sounds pretty corrupt.
It's an agreement. No, it's not corrupt. No, I don't think it's corrupt.
For a communist. No. But
why
if everything belongs to the people.
Why shouldn't he pay for it?
Ask the people,
you don't think,
did they ask the people if they were like, so these guys give us this, we're going to just give him a bunch of pieces of our human history for him to take back into America. They didn't ask the people. If they were all equal, then he should have asked the people. Let you know, guys, the people of Russia are going to give you all of these things. It was a unilateral decision from him, which is technically corrupt
given the context
of equality within communism.
If that's corruption, well, I mean, that's that doesn't sound that corrupt to me. That sounds like
of a girl
that sounds like
oral sex and making a bunch of money. How is that corrupt? Like, what's the corruption of getting oral sex and a bunch of money in the top of a tower? Like, how is that corrupt?
Okay, if you don't think it is, then fine. I mean, if I have to explain it to you, well...
Yeah, explain it to me.
Well, I don't think he's been hired by the board of directors. I don't think it's in his job description to be sitting in his office and his job is receiving oral sex from a paid employee of the company. As far as I know, although it seemed to be overlooked by people within on the board of directors who are responsible in capitalism to the shareholders, I guess you'd call them the people, I don't think that the
Was the oral sex in exchange for something? Was the oral sex done in exchange for something? Because the definition of corruption is the dishonest or fraudulent conduct by those in power, typically involving bribery, or the process by which something, typically a word or expression, is changed from its original use or meaning to one that is regarded as erroneous or debased. I mean, that has no relevance. But the first
I would say that someone whose job description is not to be receiving oral sex on the job as part of and having people there hired to affect this whenever he wants it, I would and without the knowledge of the shareholders.
a town councilor by giving his daughter a gold medal in the hockey tournament so that he changes the legislation in the water supply that allows the developer to make a massive development in a place that used to be a natural preserve. Like, that's corruption. Like, if, like, the Native American reserves, and they're fairly corrupt. They take all the money and they don't give it to the people. Like, there's a lot of, like, they're, like, I think corruption is a universal human trait. Corruption's everywhere. It's just everybody serves themselves when they get the opportunity to do so. That's just what corruption is.
Well, okay, so it's human. So your point is that humanity is just corrupt, or moves towards corruption in certain circumstances, even when it's, whether it's warranted or whether it isn't warranted, or whether it's justifiable or isn't. Right?
Right.
So you shouldn't expect. So basically, you're saying that all humanity is either corrupted or corruptible, and therefore we should just accept it. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your view. I don't know. I mean, I think there are levels of it. I think there are levels of corruption, but it's not. Let me put it this way. I don't aspire to be corrupt.
Oh yeah, no, that's your choice.
Yes,
but
I know.
I don't think that corruption alone is something that specifically targets capitalism. I don't. That's
no.
Like in the context
no.
of what
no.
you were saying,
no.
you
but,
used it as an example.
But the thing is, when actually, I do think it is because if you were someone who believed in a particular type of system, and you engage in something where you conspire to engage in something where you are you're taking more than you were that was to be allocated to you, and you're conspiring to do this illegally, then I don't think that you've obviously moved. You obviously don't respect whatever political acumen that you're going along with, you know, or that you said you're adhering to. If you're in a communist society and you're doing things where you're taking bribes and aggrandizing yourself and being corrupt, I don't rule it out. By someone, but I think that you're not falling within that system. You're deviating. You're degenerate from the system. So you're no longer. I would say that you're no longer a communist because you're no longer in that realm.
Dictatorship.
Dictatorship. Well, how would you define dictatorship?
Well, most communist countries are dictatorships. Most socialist countries are too.
Would you say that Donald Trump is a dictator?
Well, I don't really believe in democracy, so.
Okay, but I'm asking you a question about Donald Trump. Is Donald Trump a dictator? I'm not saying he is. I'm asking you. Do you think he is? And why? And if you do
not
think
yet.
He is,
no,
why do you?
So. But, I think there's a potential.
Okay.
There's potential.
Okay. Let me
happen,
give you an example.
I don't think he is now.
Let me give you an example. But let me give you an example of why I would say that it could be argued that Donald Trump is a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump tells other countries, or through agreements that he is advocating, he's telling other countries, dictating to them how they should behave with third parties. Now, I can understand how, as the leader of the United States, he can say, we're not going to have anything to do with this or that or whatever. Okay, fine. The system that they have in the United States, he's been elected the president. But what Donald Trump is doing, or saying he's doing, and I don't think it's unique to Donald Trump by any stretch of the imagination. I think they've all done it. But he's saying to other countries, you can't deal with these people because we say so.
America's always like done that, though.
Yeah, okay, so it's a dictatorship then.
I mean, Canada's sided with them a number of times.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a dictatorship.
Is it totalitarian?
What makes something totalitarian?
By not having a choice, but having to follow orders given to you by a single ruling party or member or individual.
Well, so you're saying that the United States, because they're, would you say, for the most part, I mean, I know there are all sorts of other parties, but really, the United States is a two-party state, right? It has been since the beginning. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there really any difference between those two parties all believe in capitalism, don't they? There's no deviation with their aims and goals.
No. But there is
a lot of deviation.
So how
is there a choice? How is there a choice then? How is that not totalitarian? The people of the United States are forced to live under capitalism, whether they like it or not. Because there's no political means to get out of it. Where? How?
Okay.
How politically can American people get out of from the yoke of a two-party system where it's totally skewed towards capitalism? How is there any deviation from capitalism reasonably within the American political system?
Why does there need to be?
Well, you start talking about totalitarianism, and you mentioned
an accusation.
Well, okay, but you're saying that you're bringing up this word totalitarianism, and I asked you, well, what do you mean by totalitarianism? And then you gave me some kind of explanation of what you think totalitarianism is. But then I put it to you that the combination of the two-party state that looks to me as an outsider as being pretty, as much as they argue and have factions, looks pretty much like a one-party system to me that advocates for the same economic system, the same political system, and so on, where there's no deviation and no difference in opinion. I wonder, well, would you call that totalitarianism? I mean, I'm not going to call it totalitarianism because,
no.
You know, I mean, if you're all in agreement there as to what that is, well, fine. I mean, that's not my place to be saying that the American system is totalitarian. But you're asking me whether you're sort of intimating that, let's say, the Soviet Union was totalitarian. And you're telling me that the reason you're sort of saying, I believe you were going in that direction, if not saying it outright, it's because there's only one party.
Wasn't there?
But yes,
only one party.
But the thing is, okay, I'm going to ask you: is the United States a totalitarian state?
No.
Why? Why isn't it? If the Soviet Union, if it allows
for people to speak and express their own beliefs with the Tea Party or with all the Marxist parties and the Communist Party and the Green Party and all of these different, like Ralph Nader being an independent candidate. I mean, if it was a totalitarian regime, none of those people would be allowed to even ceremonially run in opposition to the status quo.
Yeah, ceremonially. I think that's a good thing. In other words, it's just a veneer of trying to say, oh, look, we're better than you are because we allow these people to kind of, you know, come in on the periphery. But effectively, they can't
exist. It's not really a veneer. I mean, if people in the United States wanted to vote those people in, technically, if it's really a democracy, they would be able to. It's just democratically, they choose not to.
No, democratically, they're only given a couple of choices because it takes a lot to get on a ballot in the United States, as far as I understand.
There's more than two choices on ballots.
There may be more than two choices on ballots, but the thing is that to actually get a party, to have a national party, I mean, to have a national party that fields candidates, I mean, it's practically impossible. Right.
What's to say that's not because the will of the people for that party to exist is not there? Therefore, democratically, the party does not exist because nobody wants it.
Well, the thing is that what if the well, the thing is you might have some people. Something has to start somewhere, right? And there are people who don't agree with the two-party system as it stands now. But the thing is that the amount of effort to put in to break down this colossus that's been set up since 1776, this sort of Anglo-American colossus, is almost insurmountable. I mean, you're bound for failure, right? It almost can't be done. Look at Bernie Sanders, right? I mean, probably the closest the United States has ever come to having someone who said they were socialist. I mean, I'm dubious about Sanders, but anyway, let's just take that away, my personal thoughts about him and his policies. I mean, there was a woman who ran for the Green Party, Janice Stein, her name is Dr. Stein, and she was doing an interview on RT. And she said, and they were talking about the possibility of Bernie Sanders becoming the Democratic Party candidate instead of it being Hillary Clinton. And she said that the Democratic Party had a kill switch, that it couldn't possibly happen. And what did we see? We saw the Democratic Party kill switch on Sanders, which he seemed to gladly accept as he was integrating himself here's a socialist and he has to integrate himself into the Democratic Party in order to have any type of shot at doing anything. And what did they do to him? And we know this through WikiLeaks. They just do a kill switch. The political elite just kill it. They don't go and talk to the people. The people have no, there's no bearing on it. I mean, this talking about the people in communist countries having no rights or abilities and then saying, oh, well, they do in America. I mean, it's just silly, frankly. I mean, it's not borne out by any evidence that we see. And you have to actually ignore what has come to light, which most generations in the past, it might have, if you mentioned that basically the Democratic Party had kill switches and fixed elections and fixed who was going to be the candidate, people would say, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist, right? That's what they'd say, you know. That's what people said to me when I said the whole thing's fixed 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You know, Bob and, you know, playing Mae Russell tapes. She was a conspiracy theorist, you know. She's just a paranoid or whatever, right? Well, as time wears on, we're getting to see how it really works. And I'll credit Trump to a certain extent with us allowing people in America to be their eyes opened to what's really going on, whether he's doing it or somebody else is doing it. But you're not free. You're nowhere near free. And talking about, oh, people are ordered to vote for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, to be a registered Republican or registered Democrat. Imagine, you got to go out and say what you are.
I don't think a lot of people want to be free. I don't think most people want freedom. Freedom's a burden to most people.
Well, freedom is ridiculous. I mean, nobody's free. I mean, what freedom from what?
Exactly.
What are you free from? What, free from?
Exactly.
See, they always say you're free from communism, right? Freedom from communism. When has communism ever threatened you?